Amen. I trust you have been blessed already this morning through worship and song and through the word. As Jim mentioned already, Pastor Jim and I have had set forth in the task of preaching through the fruits of the Spirit. I think Jim gave us an overview of the Spirit, or the fruits of the Spirit. Then last week we were speaking on love, and this week it brings us to joy. If you have your bulletin, there's an outline in there for you. And the first question I have for us is, what is joy, really? But before we get to that, let me pray. Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together to praise your name. Father, you are so good to us. You've given us your Son, Jesus Christ, and he's died and he's rose again so that we, as your people, can be filled with an unending, limitless joy. Father, I pray that our hearts would be softened to your word, that we would leave here rejoicing because of what you've done for us. Father, I would pray also for those who are here this morning who don't know you, who don't know the joy that we speak of this morning from your word. I pray that your Spirit would convict them of their sin and draw them to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I Googled define joy, and this is what came up: a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. I would argue that joy is defined differently on the basis of your worldview. What I mean is this: if you believe that the meaning of life or the happiness you can find in life is only found in your possessions or money or success, then you will define joy differently than someone who is in Christ. You would define your joy as a happiness you experience when you achieve the things in your life in which you find the most valuable. But how would a Christian define joy? Last week, Pastor Jim preached from a passage that told us what love is. There's not, I don't think, any passage in the Bible that tells us what specifically joy is. I found a definition of joy from a pastor in the States, John Piper. If you've heard him preach before, he likes to preach a lot on joy. This is what he says: joy, a Christian joy, is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. Helpful article on desiringgod.org. John Piper takes us through his definition of joy, showing us how, of course, the joy in us has to be produced by the Spirit. We'll talk about that in a moment. But that joy is produced in us as we see who Christ is in his word and what Christ has done for us as we read in his word. And not only that, we see Christ in the beauty of the world around us. That is what Christian joy is, and that's what is produced in us by the Spirit, or so we hope. Ultimately, this morning, I want to show from Romans 15 that true and lasting joy comes to us by God at work in our hearts by his Spirit, reminding us of our salvation, our hope, and our peace. Turn with me to Romans 15. As Jim mentioned, we'll be in Romans 15 this morning. I want to start right in the middle of the chapter at verse 7 and read down into verse 13. Romans 15, verse 7. I'm reading from the NIV. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promise made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again, it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Spirit. How does Paul show us that true and lasting joy comes to us by God at work in our hearts by His Spirit, reminding us of our salvation, our hope, and our peace? How does he do this? Well, first of all, he encourages us and reminds us that we are included into God's plan of salvation, plan of redemption, and so we rejoice. Our first point is that we rejoice. Verses 7 through 12. The word joy is defined as the noun, and rejoicing is the verb. I thought of it as I was preparing for this sermon, that as we preach through these fruits, we should be leaving here rejoicing, filled with joy. Last week, we should have left with more love for others. As we saw Christ as the example for love, so we go out by the Spirit at work in us, producing that love in our hearts for those around us. And so the same this morning. As we see what joy is in God's Word, we should leave here rejoicing in the fact that Christ has saved us from our sin and given us new life. We rejoice. That's what we've been doing already, praising the name of God for what He has done for us. And so Paul, he tells us in this first or in the second half of Romans 15 that we have been included into God's plan of salvation. In the beginning of Romans 15, Paul has just told us that we should be accepting one another no matter where they are in their spiritual walk. The Jews would have believed that they were probably better off than the Gentiles because they were God's chosen people. They've been following God longer than the Gentiles have. And there was people in the Roman church who had a weaker faith than those who were others in the church. And so Paul is saying, regardless of where you are in your faith, you accept one another on the basis of love. And he uses Christ's example of accepting us to prove that we should do this. And so, why do we rejoice? We rejoice because in verse 7, Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. We have been accepted into the gospel to glorify God through our praise. The reason we have to rejoice is because of the gospel. I meant to mention this earlier as we defined joy, but what is interesting about the worldview of joy and our view of joy, the Christian view of joy, is that the worldview of joy is defined by circumstances. What I mean is that depending on what's happening in your life, you're either going to be joyful or you're going to be miserable. Whereas a Christian, your joy is not defined on the basis of your circumstance. Your joy is defined on the basis of Christ, His death and His resurrection. It's certain. It does not change. And so, as we are in Christ, we can still rejoice, even though everything falls apart around us, because we have Christ. Without Christ, if everything crumbles around us, we have no reason to rejoice. And so we are accepted into God's plan of redemption for His people, and so we rejoice. Paul shows this by referring back to the Old Testament. In verse 9, he quotes David, King David, after they had defeated the Philistines. And this is a song of praise to God for His deliverance of the people, which is interesting because we praise God for our deliverance also. So David says, "Therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles," referring, pointing forward to a time when it will be more than just the Jews worshiping. It will be the Gentiles, the nations. Unless you are of Jewish descent or Israel descent, you are included into that. You are a Gentile. I am a Gentile. And so we are included into God's plan of redemption. Again, he quotes this is Moses now, saying, "Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people." This is Moses just as the people are about to enter into the promised land. Again, God's delivered them. He's carried them along. And so now Moses says, "Rejoice, for God has delivered you. He has given you this land. Rejoice, all you people. Rejoice, you Gentiles, you nations." Again, now Paul uses a psalm. He says, "Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles." Again, referring to the nations. "Let all peoples praise Him. Let all the peoples praise His name." And then Isaiah pointing forward to one, the root of Jesse, who will come, who is Jesus. And this one man will come to rule the nations, and so the Gentiles will have hope. Again, we are included into this plan. It's not just for the Jews, it's for the Gentiles also. It's for us. So how do we have hope? Well, we're included into God's plan of salvation, and so we rejoice in Him. What is important for us to see here is that this rejoicing can only come to us, this type of joy that I'm talking about, can only come to us if we are in Christ. I'm not speaking of the joy that I defined earlier of a great feeling of pleasure and happiness. You can get that from anything. I'm speaking of a joy that's in your soul that is unshakable, unchanging, a joy that is not defined by your circumstances. That joy is only experienced when you are in Christ. If you're in Christ this morning, if you've been a Christian for any period of time, I hope and pray you know what I'm talking about. And if you are not in Christ this morning, I would plead with you to examine your heart, to repent of your sin, and turn to Him and accept this and receive this joy that is ours through Christ. But it has to be understood that the joy we're speaking of this morning can only be for those who are in Christ. There's no joy apart from Christ, no lasting and true joy. You may find joy, but it will end. Our joy in Christ will never end. There's a reason why Paul tells us in his other letters that we rejoice always, and no matter your circumstances. James even tells us to rejoice when we're afflicted. All of that is only possible in Christ. We'll see this later on. Paul reminds us then we are accepted not because of anything that we've done, not because of how good we are. We're accepted on the basis of God's grace and His mercy and His love for a fallen human race. I'm saying that because Paul has proved that throughout the entire book of Romans. All you need to do is read Romans chapter 1 through 3, and you'll see that we are a wicked human race. He actually says that all we think about is evil all the time. If that offends you, I'm sorry, but it's true. Our minds are wicked and evil. They're only changed by the Spirit. Again, we'll talk about that a little bit later. They're only changed by the Spirit as He is at work in us. But Paul reminds us that we don't receive this acceptance by God because we're good or because we deserve it. It's because God has shown us love and mercy in His Son by sending His Son to take the wrath of God. We just sung that. The wrath of God has been satisfied in Christ. He has died, but then He rose again. Again, we've just sung that. He rose again so that we could believe in Him in faith and find new life. So by faith in Him, we have new life, new joy, a true joy. Again, you may be, if you're not a Christian here this morning, you may be experiencing some kind of joy, but I would argue that that joy is not true joy because it will end. It will come to an end. And if something happens in your life tomorrow or today that causes turmoil, your joy will be gone. But Christian, if something happens in your life today or tomorrow, your joy will not be gone. Is never ending because we are included in Christ. So is our response to this not one of worship? Should it not be one of us standing together as believers in Christ and singing praise to His name for what He has done for us? As we were singing, I couldn't help but smile and be happy because of what Christ has done for us. And it makes me think of all of the times in which I stand here or here and worship and my heart is not filled with joy. My heart is not moved by the fact that Christ has given me everything that I could ever need, and so I praise Him with great joy. We are filled with a joy that cannot be changed, and this joy is rooted in the love of Christ. The joy in knowing that we've been accepted into God's family, and there is nothing that can take us out of that family. Nothing. We just sung that also in song. We cannot be taken away from God. Nothing can separate us from His love. And so we praise and rejoice. The book of Revelation points forward to this. When a time when we will all be together, if we're Christians, we'll all be together, and in a loud, very loud voice, we will all be crying out praises to God because He has rescued us. He has saved us from our sin. And so, joy leads us, it has to lead us to rejoicing. It has to. They go hand in hand. We can't be filled with joy and not be led to rejoice for what God has done for us. And so we remember, as I mentioned earlier, we remember our salvation. This is how we find joy in the difficult times. This is how you have joy. The Apostle Paul has joy when he's in prison, when he's being beaten, when he's being stoned. He has joy because he has Christ. Paul tells us in his letter to the Philippians that he has learned the secret of being content or joyful in all circumstances. And he has learned that by having Christ. I'm still learning that. I'm still learning how to be joyful when everything is crumbling. I'm still learning that. And I need you to pray for me. And I need to pray for you as well. As Paul does this for the church. We'll see this later. But he prays that they would be filled with this joy. And we need to be praying for one another that we will be filled with this type of joy, that although things are crumbling around us, although the world may look at us and see chaos, yet we find joy. A joy that comes through salvation that is given to us by our Lord Jesus, and so we rejoice. Secondly, Paul, referring back to my definition of joy earlier, the second, not John Piper's, but my definition of joy. Secondly, Paul shows us that God is the giver of joy. Point number two, God is the giver of joy. We'll look at verse 13, just the first half of verse 13. After Paul has reminded us and told the church in Rome that they are included into the plan, if they're a Gentile, they're included into his plan of salvation. Now Paul offers a prayer. This is a prayer for the church, and I would say a prayer for us as well to mimic. He says, may the God of hope, he's defining God as a God who gives us hope now, a God who fills us with true hope, fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. Again, that last little phrase is so important for us. I mentioned it earlier. This joy, this peace, this hope only comes to us as we trust in Christ. We need to examine our hearts. Are we trusting in Christ? Do we understand? Do we know the gospel? Have we embraced Christ as our Lord and Savior? If that's true, the prayer for us then is that we may be filled with joy and peace and hope in Christ. But it is God who produces that in us. Remember, when we speak of joy, we're speaking of the joy that is produced in us by the Spirit, produced in us by God. Everything that we've mentioned here, everything that Paul has mentioned here in this opening section is made possible by God. It is not made possible by you or anyone else. It is made possible by him at work in history. The entire Old Testament is pointing forward to a time when Jesus will come as the root of Jesse. He will deliver his people. But again, God makes that possible. You read through the Old Testament, see how miserably people failed when they tried to deliver themselves on their own. They couldn't do it. And that was all pointing forward to the fact that you can't deliver yourself from your sin. God has to be the one who will deliver you from your sin. And he has given us this deliverance in Christ. May God fill you with this. Paul doesn't say in verse 13 in the first part, he doesn't say, may your wealth and family and success fill you with joy. Because he knows that those things can only fill us with a short type of joy. He says to them, you need to find your joy in Christ. You need God to fill you with this joy. You can't find this joy anywhere else. May God fill you with this joy. He's pointing them to God. He wants them to take their eyes off themselves, take their eyes off of their things, and look to Christ. Look to God. Same command is true for us. We need to take our eyes off of the things that God has blessed us with, although they're good things to be joyful about, and look to the giver of those things. We need to remember, anything that we have, any good gift, comes from God who is above. He is the giver of our joy. Take our eyes off our things, our earthly things, and look to Christ. We've just finished a study through the book of Ecclesiastes, and what does the teacher, the preacher in Ecclesiastes say time and time again? Meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. Everything under the sun is meaningless. He actually went on the pursuit of trying everything. He tried money. He tried fame. He tried women. He tried everything there was. And what does he come to the conclusion of? There is nothing worth it. It's all about fearing God and trusting in him. And so the same is true for us. May God fill you with joy and hope and peace. He is the only one who can. How does he make this possible for us? How does he do this for us? How in the world would God make us joyful? Well, I've already said, he gives us his Son. He says to us, if you believe in me through in Christ, if you believe in Christ by faith, you will have a joy that cannot be changed, it cannot be taken from you. And although you may not always be happy, you'll always be joyful. It cannot be taken from you. What is God doing? He's causing us, as John Piper says, he's causing us by the Spirit at work in us to see the beauty of Christ. As the more and more I see the beauty of Christ, the more and more I'm led to a place of rejoicing. I hope that's true for you also. The more and more God reveals himself to you in his word, the more and more he reveals himself to you through his Son and in his creation, I hope you're led to a place of just deep and utter joy and rejoicing. There's times, I don't know about you, but there's times when I'm outside on a starry night, I look up in the sky, and all I can do is just praise God, praise him for his mighty act, his mighty works in creation, and then be reminded of my salvation and praise him even more. I wish that was my response all the time. I know it's not. And I meant to mention this earlier, but joy is something we've all experienced, but I think true joy is harder for us to it's easy for us, but it's hard in our sinful hearts to always understand it. And I'm in the same boat. It's not always easy for me to be joyful. And I know it's not always easy for you, but I think, as I've already mentioned, as the Spirit produces this in us, as the Spirit is changing our hearts, it becomes not easy, but easier. But God is the giver of this joy. We have to remember this. When was the last time you were filled with joy? When was the last time something you had on earth filled you with joy? How long did it last? We always think of this example. It's the classic example of a child who opens a present on Christmas. They're filled with joy for about 30 seconds, and then they're moving on to the next thing. And then they're looking forward to next Christmas. When's the next thing coming? When's the next thing coming? It's an endless cycle of what's next? What can I have to fill me next? I need something. I need my fix. When was the last time you experienced that type of joy? And when was the last time you experienced a joy that never ends? Where you can say, I am completely content. I need nothing. There is nothing more that can be given to me that would give me greater joy than I already have. I pray that you experience that joy. You are experiencing that joy today. But I hope that you remember, comes through Christ and God at work in our hearts. It is important for us to remember then the reason we have joy and hope and peace, all of these things that Paul is praying for the church, the reason we have those is that God was at work in time and in history. Everything that's happening in our earth and our world is God working, and it's all working. It all worked up to Christ, and now it's all working together for the good of his church, us who are in Christ, and so we rejoice. I hope you've experienced this before when someone comes up to you and maybe they're not a Christian or maybe they are a Christian and they say to you, you know, the type of joy that you have, that joy is attractive. You know, the type of joy in a person that although it looks like everything is falling apart and it looks like there's no reason to joy and we may feel bad for that person, and yet they say, I am joyful because I have Christ. I admire that. I want that. And Paul wants that for the church, and that's why he prays for them. But he asks that God would be the one to fill them with joy and peace as you trust in him. We need to be trusting in him. I pray that we as a church here in Port Perry would be a church that as we interact with those around us, they would say to us, you have something different. You have something that I want. You are always happy. How is that possible? How are you always so joyful? And then you can share the gospel with them. You know how I'm always joyful? Because Christ has rescued my soul. He has saved me from my sin. And now there is nothing more that I could ever want or need. That's the type of joy we should be filled with by the Spirit. And so Paul prays that for the church in Rome. And I would pray the same for you. And I plead with you to pray the same for me. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him. Finally, our last point, Paul shows us that the joy that we want, this joy that I'm speaking of, Christian joy, again, remember the two definitions. Christian joy is produced in us by the Spirit, along with all of the other fruit that we're going to be speaking of and that we have spoken of. So our third point, produced by the Spirit, 13b. So that, this is the end of the means then. So let me read the whole verse, and then the second half is our last point. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Turn with me, if you would, back to Galatians, to the fruits of the Spirit. I want to just read them quickly again for us, but I want to read also the part before that. Galatians 5, and I'm going to start in verse 19. Galatians 5, verse 19. The reason I'm doing this is because I want us to see there's two ways we can be governed. We can either be governed by the flesh or we can be governed by the Spirit. And the things that if we're governed by the Spirit, the fruits are what is produced in us. But we have to remember where it comes from. So let me read in verse 19 of Galatians chapter 5. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warned you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The reason I read that, as I mentioned, is that we have to remember that the fruit that we desire, that we should be wanting, is produced in us by the Spirit. I've always found that hard to understand. The things that we should be showing, the fruits of the Spirit, have to be produced by the Spirit. And it was later that in my Christian walk, that I discovered that those things will be produced in us if we have the Spirit, because they are the fruits of the Spirit. They should be coming out of us. They should be working themselves out in us as we live. Because if we have the Spirit is producing them in us. But that doesn't mean we just sit there and wait around for them to happen. You're not going to become a more loving person by just sitting around and expecting one day that you'll be more loving. You need to see, as Pastor Jim showed us last week, you need to see Christ's example of love, and then you think, then it shows you, oh, that's how I'm to love. And then the same for joy. You're not just going to become more joyful by sitting around. You need to see the beauty of Christ first, and then when you see the beauty of Christ, then you'll understand what it means to rejoice and be filled with joy. But what's amazing is that all of those things have to be made happen. I don't understand. Whatever. They have to be produced in us by the Spirit at work in us. They can't be done on our own. It's impossible. And so we pray. We pray that the Spirit would do this for us. And I pray the same. I would pray this for you. And I would ask and plead that you would pray the same for us, for me, for Pastor Jim, and your elders. Paul tells us that we either live in the flesh or we live in the Spirit. There's no other way to live. There's two ways. There's life in the flesh, life in sin, and life in the Spirit. Paul in Romans, as I mentioned earlier, he tells us that our hearts are sinful. We have a sinful nature, sinful desires all the time. And so in order to experience, again, Christian joy, we need Christ, the Spirit, God, to be working in us in order to experience those things. Just as if we want to show Christ's love, we have to have the Spirit working in us, because our natural inclination is not to show that kind of love. My natural inclination is not to be joyful when everything falls apart. My natural inclination is to be angry and mad at whatever the circumstance is that has caused me to be in turmoil. But as the Spirit produces in me a true joy, when all that happens, we rejoice because we have Christ. This is exactly what's happening with Job in the Old Testament. I mean, he did, you know, complain and wonder why God was doing all of these things. But there's the famous thing that Job says, and this is a paraphrase, but he says, the Lord gives, The Lord takes away, and yet I will still praise him, for he is good. The Lord gives to us, and the Lord can take away from us, and yet we praise him because he is good to us. How has he shown his goodness to us? He has given us his Son. He has said to us that there is no reason for us to be afraid, no reason for us to worry, because now through Christ you have true life. And so we rejoice. But again, the Spirit has to be producing these things. It has to be producing all of the fruit. We're going to see this as we work through the fruits of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is clearly very important. So as we close, it's important for us to be aware and desiring the Spirit to produce these things in us. Be aware of your heart. Be aware of your inclinations, what your tendencies are. Be aware that your tendency is to lean towards not being joyful. It's who we are. It's who I am. Some of you are more joyful than me. But all of us, our tendency is to go towards anger. And so again, by the Spirit at work in us and by praying for each other and praying for yourself, asking the Spirit to produce the Spirit's fruit in us, these things come out. I'm sorry if this offends you, but if you're out of the Spirit, if you're out of Christ, you can't do anything good. If God is the standard for good, then we are in deep, deep trouble. God sets a standard for us, and in Romans, Paul tells us that we all fall short of that standard. All of us. We're lumped into one group. I'm not only talking about one particular person or one particular group of people. All of us fall short of the standard that God has set for us. And so he says to us, but wait, rejoice, because I have sent my Son who does meet my standards, and he will die in your place. And all you have to do is trust in me in faith by my grace and my mercy, and you will have new life. That is where our joy comes from. Not from the fact that we can gain status with God, but because he says, I have finished the work. I have sent my Son to die in your place, and now you trust in me, and you are mine. You are my child. I want to read we've introduced a few songs from this band as of late, City Alight. And this one song, as I was listening to it, reminds me, I think, of the type of joy that we receive. And I want you to picture, your life, your heart before you were in Christ. Come, you weary heart, now to Jesus. Come, you anxious soul, now and see. There is perfect love and comfort in your tears. Rest here in his wondrous peace. I wonder if this is you this morning. Are you weary and anxious? Come to Jesus. See, there is perfect love and comfort. The chorus, oh, the goodness of Jesus. Satisfied, he is all I need. May it be, come what may, that I rest all my days in the goodness of Jesus. This verse is important. Come find what the world cannot offer. Come and find your joy here complete. Taste the living water, never thirst again. Rest here in his wondrous peace. Come and find your hope now in Jesus. He is all he said he would be. Grace is overflowing from the Savior's heart. Rest here in his wondrous peace. Oh, the goodness of Jesus. Satisfied, he is all I need. May it be, come what may, I will rest all my days in the goodness of Jesus. I pray that that is the song of your heart this morning, that whatever comes, whatever may be, whatever happens, you are trusting in the goodness of Jesus. Your hope and faith and comfort is found in the goodness of Christ, that our circumstances are not defining our joy, that Jesus Christ is the definition of our joy. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the encouragement that your word is to my heart, to my soul, to my mind. And Father, you tell us in your word that we are to rejoice always, and that the second fruit of the Spirit is joy. So Father, I pray That you would help us to understand more clearly what joy is and how that joy is to be rooted in your salvation, in our salvation as we trust in you. And Father, I pray that that joy would not only be something we experience, but that would be something that we live out. Father, as we leave here this morning, I pray that we would leave rejoicing in the fact that you have rescued us from our sin. And I pray that that joy would be evident to those around us, and that through conversation and by your Spirit at work in them, that you would save them, that you would draw them to yourself. Father, as we continue to worship, I pray that our rejoicing, as I have already mentioned, would not stop here, but that it would continue as we leave here this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.